I have a title this morning, and let's see what we really need to see. I think one of the things about human beings is that we are creatures of habit. I bet you you're sitting in the chair you normally sit in. I bet you traveled on Friday to work a bit like how you traveled the day before. I bet you this week you probably did similar things to what you did the week before. We are creatures of habit. And sometimes we think in certain ways as well. And I think sometimes the Word of God has to come and help us to break out of ways of seeing things, ways of thinking that don't please Him. I have one verse as a text this morning. I'll read a few other verses as well, but my verse this morning is this. It's Acts 2, verse 40, and it reads like this, and this, with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. That's my text. One of the features of the devil is he tells lies. One of the features of human beings is we believe lies. The only person who speaks the whole truth and nothing but the truth is the Lord Himself. His words are true, and the Word of God can be trusted. Acts chapter 2 is a very important chapter to me because it contains the very first detailed apostolic sermon ever preached. It's a very, very important passage. And it mentions certain things and it doesn't mention certain other things. And I just want to remind you of some of the things that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, a couple of verses earlier in the chapter. It says, but verse 14 to 16, Peter stood up with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. I'm about to speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. For these people are not drunk as it looks, seeing things as they really are. 9 o'clock in the morning, these people are not drunk as you suppose, it's only the third hour of the day. But this is that which was uttered through the prophet Joel. So the first thing about Peter's sermon, an apostolic message, is that he spoke about the Old Testament scriptures were absolutely reliable and were being fulfilled. And then he goes on to speak about the person of Jesus Christ, verse 22 to 24. Hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men, but God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. So the second subject matter of this very first Holy Spirit anointed apostolic authoritative preaching was the person of Jesus, his life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And then it goes on to say, verse 32 and verse 33, this Jesus God raised up, and we are all witnesses, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, which he has poured out, which you are now seeing and hearing. And verse 36, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. It only takes, Spurgeon said this, it only takes one sermon to explain the gospel facts. But in verse 40, it takes many sermons to encourage and exhort the people to the seriousness of it, the reality of it, and the life-changing nature of it. With many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. I want to show a short video. I hope we can pull this off. And this is entitled Inattention Blindness. Now, I've explained to Mark, he already knows the point of this video. He's got some special treatment this morning. And some other people have seen this video before, so don't spoil the surprise. Right? But I want to show a short video. I'm paying attention. And you know, I think there's a real spiritual lesson in that. How on earth did I miss that the first time? All over the book of Acts, I see all the P's. Prayer, 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 prayer. Praise, praise, praise. Proclamation, the presence of God, persecution, prophecy, taking care of the poor. It's all over the scripture. It's all over the book of Acts. There's a story about a man hanging on the edge of a cliff and he's crying out to God, please rescue me. Oh God, do a miracle. And a helicopter starts to appear. And he says, no, I'm waiting for God to do a miracle. And he didn't see the moon walking bare as God broke into his situation to rescue him. Very relevant to what you were saying too, Andrew. And you know, there's things to say that are positive that we'll miss. But I have to also say this, there are things that the enemy and the world system is up to that we can also miss. And it's almost like our eyes need opened. And Acts 2 verse 40 says like this, with many other words. See, Peter didn't just preach that sermon. There were other things he said on that day. I don't know the detail of what they were. They're not recorded for us. But it seems like many of these words that he spoke to that situation, that having told them the truth, he tried to exhort them and convince them and persuade them about the reality of the things he was preaching. It says that Peter, with many other words, bore witness. He didn't just teach. He didn't just preach. He bore witness. He gave personal testimony about the reality of a risen Christ. And that's one of the things I want to sort of say to us this morning. There is something very significant and very powerful about ordinary people bearing witness that Jesus is alive. And that includes what young Peter said earlier. Don't underestimate what Peter said. Being brought up in a Christian home, that's a wonderful thing. Let's have Christian homes. Let's have kingdom marriages. Let's have kingdom households. He was so touched over the years by ministries directed towards children and youth. Don't miss God in that. Don't miss the significance of ministry directed towards children and young people. I can take you to many adults who will tell you they became a Christian at somehow or other, but on close examination, what I discover is that many of them had the seed put into them as a 3-year-old and a 4-year-old and a 5-year-old. Don't miss the moonwalking bear. And then Peter says, save yourselves from this crooked generation. It's God who saves, but we have to cooperate. And we need to realize that there is a crooked generation, there's a crooked age, there's a crooked world system trying to oppose people acknowledging Christ, trying to hinder us coming into the fullness of what God has for us. There's a negative moonwalking bear, and it's an organized, satanic, corrupt system to try to hinder God's people and people acknowledging Christ. In those days, in this situation, what was the nature of this crooked generation that Peter was speaking about. This was a religious group of people. There was the scribes, the Pharisees, the chief priests, and the elders, and they all opposed Christ at that time. It was a crooked generation. They were waiting for Christ, and Peter got up and said, Christ has come. They were waiting for the Holy Spirit to be poured out, for the prophecy of Joel to be fulfilled, and Peter says, it has already been fulfilled in front of your faces. Catch yourselves on. Save yourself from this corrupt, crooked generation. And I got to thinking, in our day, in our generation, what does it mean to save ourselves or to see clearly the nature of the crooked generation that we live in? Depends where you live. Depends what country you're in. We happen to live in this country. One of the reasons I love to go abroad is it gives me a perspective on life here. I love to be with the church in Africa, where there is an urgency to life there that we don't seem to have here. And you touched upon this, Andrew. You know, when you have enough to eat, enough to drink, and enough shelter, and those things are not a concern, they're not a worry, your perspective changes when you're in an environment where you need to trust God daily for your provision. I don't want to be conned by the world system. I don't want to be influenced and manipulated by the world system. I'm starting to get a wee bit, you know, maybe a wee bit like Peter, where he says, save yourselves from this crooked generation. That's very strong language. Is it appropriate to think like that and speak like that today? I'm becoming increasingly concerned in our culture, in our age, how busy we've become. And we've no time for the most important things. We've no time for reflection. We've no time for spiritual matters. The temporary seems to be more important than the eternal. The material seems to be more important than the spiritual. I think I need to wake up a little bit. I think I need to see the moon walking bare. I'm really, really annoyed with advertising. I hate listening to the radio and there's an advertisement comes on, or watching TV and an advertisement comes on. Or once on the internet, I inquired about a football result and now I get this news feed bombarding my head when I don't want it and don't need it with all this information. All this information overload. I'm concerned that we maybe live in a day and a generation that it is also crooked. I'm concerned about the medicalization of social problems, the breakdown of families, the breakdown of relationships, the breakdown of communities. And they're being called medical diseases. I don't want to be conned by that any longer. I'm concerned about the medicalization and the socialization of spiritual problems. It's time to wake up. It's time to see the moon walking bare that's trying to hinder us from being appropriately focused. There was a guy, had an illustration during the week, which I loved, a guy called David Platt. And he used this illustration, and it sort of illustrates how we have become so familiar with certain words and certain phrases that they've lost their impact. I appreciated that song this morning that you taught. Some of the, you know, it talked about the recklessness and the overwhelming nature of God. You know, we need to find ways of speaking about God and the things of God that are not diluted. And David was saying this, can you imagine I came to church and I was late for the preaching and I got up on the stage and apologized for being late. Folks, I'm really sorry for being late. I was hit by a bus on the way here. Let's begin. Now, you could be forgiven for doubting that I'd been hit by a bus. No bruises, no limp. I'm still able to walk. And yet we say we've encountered the living God. Yet we say we believe Jesus rose from the dead. Yet we say the love of God is overwhelming. Where's the spiritual bruises? Where's the spiritual limp? Where's the passion? Where's the heart? Where's the reality? Where's the authenticity? And I think Peter, when he said Christ is risen, he was saying like this, this God, this Jesus, take it from me. He's the Lord and Savior of the world. He's alive. He's risen from the dead. He's fulfilled the Old Testament prophets. This is the only show in town. This is the only thing that matters. This is the only thing worth living for. And he says, save yourselves from this crooked generation, from the cultural things, the religious ideas, the passions that would dilute such a faith in such a Christ. You know, the thing about the book of Acts, it's like getting hit by a bus spiritually. Isn't it really? The early church turned the world upside down. They spread the gospel from Jerusalem to Judea to the ends of the earth. They were ordinary people who were transformed by something. And they didn't have radio and television. They didn't have a lot of money. In fact, in Acts chapter 3, there's a scripture that says, silver and gold do I not have, but in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. And I heard someone say, now what we say is, silver and gold we have, but we're unable to say, get up and walk. It's a tragedy. It's a scandal. The book of Acts, it shakes us up. It challenges us. It encourages us. It exhorts us. They didn't have lots of money. They didn't have social media. They didn't have big businesses. I don't think they had mega churches. But they had three things that we also have. And those three things were enough. And I'm going to finish with this. What did they have that we also have that enabled them to turn the world upside down? They had a living, resurrected, living Christ. And so do we. And I'd like to underline the opportunity of celebrating Easter for us, you know. I mean, for me, every Sunday's Easter Sunday. Every day is a resurrection day. But sometimes it's good just to take a focus and say, you know what? I really do believe Christ is alive and he's risen from the dead. The greatest fear of all has been overcome. Make the most of the opportunity next weekend. Invite someone to the service on Sunday. Invite somebody on Monday. Just make use of the time, make use of the occasion, make use of the opportunity. Make use of giving those leaflets out. I'll be honest with you. You see the idea of rapping the doors of strangers? It scares the living daylights out of me. It's not my cup of tea. But last Saturday, I saw a moonwalking bear. there was a flat, and I said, I've a little leaflet here. And it was almost towards the end of our time. I thought, where will I throw this last leaflet? And I chose a flat. And flats are really awkward because sometimes you have to push a buzzer, and it just wasn't really, you know, what I wanted to do. But I did it. And I got a call later that day from the person in that flat. Behind that door was someone I'd never met before that God knew, whose husband had committed suicide. He remarried and he died of cancer. His daughter had died. He was incredibly lonely. And as a result of that leaflet, she asked for me to come and see her. And I've arranged hopefully some counseling for her as well, through you, Laura. You've no idea what's behind that door. You've no idea what God is up to. You've no idea what the enemy's up to. How many passes did you see the moon walking bare? Open my eyes, Lord. Open my ears, Lord. We have a living, resurrected Christ. The second thing they had and we had was the outpoured Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is God's all-inclusive gift to his people. Why do I say he's the all-inclusive gift? Everything you need is there in the Holy Spirit. Do you need comfort? He's the comforter. Do you need help? He's the helper. Do you need fruit in your life? It's the fruit of the Spirit. Do you need gifting? Do you need power? He's the Spirit of power. Do you need wisdom? He's the Spirit of wisdom. Do you need insight, revelation? He's the Spirit of revelation. Do you need a friend? Do you need the presence of God? It's all included in the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let's not miss the Holy Spirit's speaking, moving, and presence in our lives. And the third thing they had Christ resurrected, the Holy Spirit, and the third thing they had was ordinary people like you and I. And we need to see that. And these ordinary people, I asked this question. Why did they devote themselves to the apostles' teaching? Was it because someone had got up and said, you must devote yourself to the apostles' teaching? Why did they devote themselves to prayer? Was it because Paul gave an incredible announcement about the prayer meeting and totally persuaded them to go to the prayer meeting? Did they feel obliged to pray? Why did they devote themselves to the breaking of bread? You know, was it a superstition to them? Was it a ceremony or a ritual? Why did they devote themselves to fellowship? Did they need a nice, comfortable place to sort of hang out? And sometimes this is the way we think. We start with prayer, and we say, prayer's important. How do we get people to the prayer meeting? Or we start with fellowship. Let's create a fellowship for people to belong. Or let's have some great preaching on the Bible, and let's try to attract people to that. No, none of that. The reason they were devoted to those things, they actually believed Christ was alive. They actually received the Holy Spirit. And they actually believed they were a people on mission. Therefore, we've got to pray. Therefore, we've got to be together. It's a jungle out there. Therefore, let's break bread, because 5 weeks ago, Jesus said, do this every time you eat in remembrance of me. And the apostles' teaching, they were fully persuaded that these eyewitnesses could explain to them the reality of this incredible person. So I'm going to hand it back to you, Andrea. Here's the thing, you know. Don't miss the moonwalking bear. God is at work. And don't miss the negative moonwalking bear. The world is trying to con us. Let's be a people who really are convinced and persuaded about the reality of the things we're talking about. Amen.